Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KCoRadio.com.
Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness here in the Imperial Valley, in the Mexicali Valley, in the Yuma Valley, in the McLean Valley. If you've got like a really big antenna, you know where that is? It's like right up the hill over there. Yeah. It's going past Secumba on Highway 8 on the right-hand side.
Oh, is that where you go collect the rocks?
No, I haven't been there yet to collect the rocks, but it's one of the spots. I'm studying geology now, so there's interesting stuff up there. So, good morning, Imperial Valley. 337-8874 is the phone number for your comments and participation in Let's Talk About It, because that always makes the show more interesting, because in our little heads, we can't keep all the information, and so when you call and ask a question, it really, and there's 50 people out there that are going, I've got the same question. And so it helps the show. So that's like your duty and responsibility to the community. How's that for imposing like a good barrier that prevents any future phone calls? No, really, have fun with it. Call us up, be part of the show, enjoy. Have fun. Listen, whatever you want to do. Good morning, and as you can guess, Maria's not here, so much for some sort of organized introduction this morning. I'm Scott, and I'm your co-host without the other co-hosts on the host. So let's talk about it. I have Cindy Coronado here, and she is a behavioral health manager with Adult Services for Imperial County Behavioral Health Services Mental Health Division. Are you get divisions, or?
Why did you say it like that?
Add-ins, or?
Are we what?
Are you divisions? Is that what mental health is? Is it a division of
mental health,
behavioral health
unit? I guess.
Okay.
Don't know.
Okay. And also Juan Benito, who is a program supervisor for the Imperial Valley Regional Occupation Program.
So good morning.
Acronym rule. So
yeah, IVROP and part of Project STAR, which works in conjunction with behavioral health.
STAR is an acronym.
Yes.
What does it
stand
for? Students
towards achieving results.
What do you guys do with that program?
We work with behavioral health. It's a brand new program that started up in July of this year. And what we do is we work with your behavioral health patients and clients, and we provide pre-employment life skills and the necessary, training, and to provide them with the necessary skills to hopefully one day become a successful member of society or be re-implemented as a member of society and be able to go back to school, go back to work, or at least live a dependent or healthy lifestyle depending on their medical condition.
I thought Cindy already got everybody jobs.
She tries.
Almost. I'm almost there.
But
that's a 95% success rate.
So you work with adult people, right? And
I do. And we're really excited about this STAR program because we've been talking about the recovery concept for the past several years now. And we talk about getting people back on their feet and having them just contribute, have that sense of contribution and feel better about themselves. And we haven't really had too much time to implement anything related to the recovery concept. So now that Juan and his staff have started the STAR project, we've really seen that happening at our clinics and at the resource center.
So being employed or even like a step and a half further, having a career, that's a big part of being an adult in this world, isn't it?
Right, but even before they get to that point, if they get to that point, we also have other community service type work that Juan and his staff are doing so that they still get that sense of contributing back or learning leadership skills. They actually have some leadership camps that sound really cool. So it's not just about working. It's just about improving your life and recovering to whatever point that means to you, whatever recovery means to you.
So have you guys done any activities yet, or are we still kind of like
teetering
on the edge?
No, we actually did start our training at the beginning of August. So right now we're hosting a two-month pre-employment life skills leadership development training.
That's not a verbal hitch, is it? Pre-employment.
No.
You're doubling the pre on purpose.
On purpose.
On purpose. Yeah, we're basically starting with the basics, the stuff that you need to know to fill out an application, the stuff that you need to know that's going to go on a resume. And what we've done is we started training at the El Centro Resource Center, and we're doing a two-month training with a group of 10 clients there. And that's been going on. We're completing our fourth week. And then also we've had a one-week training for the Tay Youth where we did a Back to School 101 where we talked about time management, anger management, dealing with stress, things that our clients need to be able to deal with going to school and the things that they face on a daily basis. And then we've had evening clinics, evening sessions at the clinic, evening sessions at our Sperber office, movie nights. We took the youth to a bowling trip when they completed their four-day training as part of the week training. So we've had a lot of stuff going on.
Get up and running.
Yeah, we're going.
It's been awesome. Like I said, we've been really excited. And then when we met Juan and his staff, we were even more excited about it because they really have a genuine interest in helping these people recover.
So our goal with this then is to get people to their highest level of self-fulfillment, of functioning, of how do we
Like I mentioned before, recovery to everyone is unique, and it might be something different to me compared to what it is to you, Scott. And so part of what they do is they meet with the individual, with each person individually, and they find out what it is that individual wants. And so they come up with, I believe you come up with a unique plan for each one, and they have a curriculum, but they meet with them as individuals, too, to see where it is that they want to go, and they help them along that path.
We have an individual learning plan that we actually establish for each client. Once they begin our training, we have one of our staff members sit down with them and go over that with them. And then we also do an assessment to assess their skills and where they're at now. And like Cindy said, each plan is individually based. So what might be good for one client might not be for the other. So the curriculum that we have, it might be the same curriculum, let's say it's budgeting, but we have it at different levels so that depending on the group or the, I guess, education of the client or where they're at personally, we can reach them at their level instead of just providing a bunch of training, going over everybody's head, and everybody walks out confused wondering what just happened.
Very cool. Okay, let's reset the table. I've got Juan Benito here from Imperial Valley Regional Occupation Program, IVROP.
Yes.
Wonderful folks over there. And it's Project STAR, which is
Students Towards Achieving Results.
Which somebody sat around an acronym table and figured that one out. Because we're all students, right? So now you can include adults and other types of people. And we have Cindy Cornell here, and she's a behavioral health manager with Adult Services in the Mental Health Unit Division thing. And we're talking about a whole new vision for how people are supported and assisted, I guess, in our community with people who are experiencing mental health problems. Is that correct?
Yes.
Where did this come from? Let's do some etiology.
Well, back in 2004, the Mental Health Services Act was passed by the state of California because it was believed that many of the people with severe mental illnesses weren't really getting the intense treatment that they needed.
I thought voting yes was no, so I wasn't.
Yeah, you do get confused pretty easily. So anyway, with the Mental Health Services Act, when it was passed, what that meant is that the counties were going to be given additional funding for improving their services or developing new services for the underserved populations. And some examples were maybe the older adults who weren't getting treatment tailored to their needs. And part of the Mental Health Services Act was also to expand existing programs. And this is where we got the additional money for IVROP. We expanded the resource center so that we could come up with more improved and tailored services to focus on certain populations. And so we came up with a contract with IVROP to start working with the recovery concept and helping these individuals with the STAR program.
Nice. Now, I guess, you know, I'm trying to recall the times in my life when I've gone in and worked in some, been a part of some sort of agency, whether it was getting my marriage license or going to school or somebody actually sat down and said, well, what would you like to do? Because typically they said, sit here, do this, fill out this form, read this, sign here. It must be a whole new paradigm for people, anybody, but with people with mental health problems, how do we begin to get them ready, you know, get them ready to answer a question like, who would you like to become and how can we be of service to you?
A lot, I think, of what we've been seeing within this past month that services started is that some individuals, like you said, they're not used to even being asked, what is it that you want to do in life? What do your future goals look like? That in itself is a really, they stumble because they've never maybe considered that. So a lot of what we're doing right now is just with the recruitment process. We have STAR the STAR Project staff are stationed at the clinics as well, and they sit there and they talk to the clients about the services that are provided. And I know it's been a little scary for some of the individuals, but the ones who did start the program are going back and talking to their peers about how great movie night is and these smaller activities. And I think that going to the movie night and to the other community service type work gets you to start thinking about what you want in life, because when you start contributing, when you start hanging out with your peers, you learn about yourself and you start learning a little bit more about what maybe what you want for the future.
Nice. So this sounds like then, Juan, that it could be an ongoing process where, you know, today I think this is what I want, and maybe in 6 months after I've played and practiced and developed a little bit, I can expand that or narrow it or clarify it or do whatever. I mean,
yeah, we continue to reevaluate. And that has become one of our obstacles, because I think our clients are used to that. They're used to, okay, come here, sit down, fill out this packet, or let's go over this huge book of questions.
Who is not used to that?
Yeah, exactly. And
that's why I went to school.
And it becomes overwhelming. So what we've done, even with our curriculum, let's say in our budgeting 101 class, what we do is we'll do like the first 45 minutes of actual classroom style, but instead of just having somebody up there teaching, we have them rely on their personal experiences. We have them talk about it. It becomes more of a discussion lesson. And then what we do for the next 45 minutes for the second part of the hour is maybe sit down with them, play Monopoly, make it a fun game, but go over exactly what they're doing. You know, while they're budgeting, while they're talking about, I want to save up to buy this or I want to sell this, we talk about the pros, we talk about the cons, we talk about why they want to do it, why they don't want to do it, what would be a good reason, what would be a bad reason. So we make it fun for them so that when they go back to the resource center or to the clinic and they see their friends or other clients that they interact with, they say, hey, you know what, you should really try this. I was scared at first, but after I went, I had a lot of fun, and they come back.
337-8874 is the phone number. Let's talk about his show. I'm your host, Scott. We've got Juan Benito here from IVROP, Regional Occupation Program. He's got a project, STAR, which is working with mental health consumers, adult mental health consumers, and developing pre-employment. Did we have some sort of, dare I say, evidence base that said these are the kind of things that we need to support people as they begin to be ready to be employed? How did we select from the list of possibilities in terms of determining how to make a program that helps people to begin to get ready to get employed?
I think we've seen that just that peer support, first of all, is something that's huge in helping a person recover. And so, and increasing activities, obviously. People who have depression, that's a really important thing, is to just have them start doing things. And so with all these activities that the STAR program has to offer, it definitely helps with the symptoms of depression, with getting people to socialize more. And again, one of the hugest things I think that a person really needs in life, whether or not you suffer from a mental illness, is the sense of contributing to something, whether that's contributing to yourself or to your society, to your community. And that's something that this project really offers. That's really new. And as we've already mentioned, for so long we were focused on the medical model where the client would come in, like Juan mentioned, and they're told to sign this, take this medication. As long as you're not at crisis or the hospital, you're okay. We're going for much more than that now. We want people to be happy. We want them to be successful in their life to whatever level that means in regards to what they want. So we don't want them just to take meds and just to stay out of the hospital. We want them to live fulfilling lives.
How is that for consumers? I mean, is it, do they notice the change in philosophy? Do they notice the different mindset in terms of what could be expected, perhaps?
I think that's why they've expressed some fear, because it's new to them. You know, when we have the recruiters out there at the clinics talking about this new program, right away I know that there was some resistance because they felt they were going to fail, or they felt they weren't going to pass the class, or their disability benefits were going to be affected. And so it's new to them, but now that we've had some clients who are participating, they're really enjoying it, and they're going back to their peers and talking about how enjoyable it is and how it's making a difference in their lives.
So, Juan, can people fail your program? Is that, are you grading people?
No, not at all. I think if anybody
Wait, what's the red pencil doing in your pocket?
I think if anybody were to fail, it'd be if we were to fail the staff and not do the things that we set out to do, and that would be the only way we would fail. And I think that that's true. Sometimes they come in and they expect a classroom setting, and they expect, I'm going to be graded, I'm going to be tested. Well, is this the right answer? Is it not the right answer? And the question is it the right answer for you? And if it is, then it's right. You know, we're not going to sit there and judge them or grade them on any of that. And it's great because to us, each individual person is a success, because the fact that they've come out to attend our classes, or even if we have a movie night out on Friday night from 5 to 7 or 6 to 8 p.m., and even if we only have 10 clients, the fact that these 10 clients were willing to leave their house and leave the room and turn off the TV or step away from their bed and just roll out of bed, take a shower, get ready, and attend our classes, it's a huge success. Because otherwise, when we talked to the clients when we were developing the program and we said, what do you need or what do you do? Well, I sit inside because it's hot, or I don't have anywhere to go, or I don't have any friends to interact with, and I just watch TV or I go to sleep. So the fact that they've been willing to come out and do that and interact with us, they've already succeeded. I mean, they've already taken a huge step.
So we've got these it sounds like people are really, when mental health problems have reign, I guess, are in charge here. We have these restricted lives commonly, regardless of whatever symptoms are resulting in the restriction. We've got, you know, I'm not going out, I don't have any friends, I don't have any social activities, I don't have any hobbies, I don't have any meaningful work type of stuff that I'm getting support or supporting other people. That would be depressing. In and of itself, what kind of, is that what we see in the community? Is that typically the people that we're working with at some sort of baseline starting point?
Yeah, the population that we work with are the ones with the severe mental illness, and that would include, yes, people who are isolating because of severe depression. But we're also working with people who suffer from bipolar disorders with major mood swings that are restricting them from getting certain things accomplished in life. And even with schizophrenia. So it's, and with that comes a lot of different impairments, not just the isolation, but obviously the ability to hold down a job would be difficult if you're hearing voices and having mood swings, and it could be a very difficult life. So part of the curriculum is on just daily living skills. Problem solving is something that Juan mentioned. So they're starting with basics, but it's leading into a higher sense of finding out who you are as a person and where you want to be in life and getting there.
So we've got a mental health system then where the more intense and more debilitating symptoms, I guess, can be pretty well managed with medication nowadays. Is that what you're seeing, Cindy,
right,
in your clinics?
Yeah, definitely. And the medication support is a huge component to getting better, to becoming stable. As far as the symptoms,
well, it sounds like it gives you some traction. You know, it's like, how do you start to begin to learn the things that the STAR program offers if you're distracted and disrupted by voices?
Right, right. If those voices or just racing thoughts, if you suffer from severe anxiety, it's going to be an obstacle to being able to attend these classes and understanding what you're hearing and processing that. So, yeah, definitely medication is a big factor in this. And a lot of what I've noticed with the STAR Project staff is that they're at the clinics also speaking with doctors and the nurses and the rehab techs there. So everyone's involved. It's not only certain staff.
So it's almost like a two-part process then. The first part is I've got these symptoms that are preventing me from becoming who I might become. And step one, I guess, is to begin to manage those symptoms in a way where they no longer... or at least the impact of those symptoms on my life are less.
Yes.
But that doesn't give me a life.
No.
That doesn't get me a job. That doesn't give me friends. It doesn't get me out to the movies. Now I have to kind of transition and say, okay, symptoms managed, life encountered.
Yeah, and what we do is we introduce the program. Like Cindy said, we have our staff out at the clinics talking to patients and clients as they come in, and we talk to them about the program, we introduce it to them, and then we ask them to discuss it with their doctor. And together with their doctor, the doctor can decide whether they're at a stable position in their treatment where they can begin attending these programs and interact. And from there, then we receive the referral and we start interacting with the client and calling them. And if they don't show up to the training because they couldn't be there, we'll have our staff contact them so that they know that they were missed or that we noticed that they weren't there. So that they can start that second part and hopefully start their life in a direction that would be beneficial for them.
And it sounds like, because this is such a big step in many ways, that a lot of encouraging and a lot of gentle coaching and a lot of just kind of outreach stuff is a big part of what you guys do.
It's definitely a huge part because they are scared. You know, they're scared. They don't know what to expect. One of the things that we talked about in the beginning, you know, is a lot of times, if you notice, some of our clients, you know, people see them and they walk away or they walk across the street from them. And, you know, our staff are encouraged to do exactly the opposite. Walk to them, talk to them, introduce yourself, let them know that, you know, that they're a person, treat them like a person, and continue that. And so a lot of it is hand-holding, it's coaching, and that's also the most beneficial part because that's where you see the big results.
Mm. Sounds like, did you guys have to go do special types of trainings or support for your own staff?
They received a really awesome training.
Capital A, awesome.
By me.
By Cindy. Underline, bold, larger font.
We've actually signed them up for pretty much every training that we offer in the department, the nonviolent training, the suicidal assessment training. So they're really getting, and they went to the differential diagnosis training too. So they jumped in and they're getting trained on mental illness and treatment strategies.
Well, it's great. Even though we are an outside agency at IVRLP and a subcontract, we've been taken in as behavioral health staff is the way we look at it. And I mean, any training that comes available, we usually receive an email. Anything that's coming up that would be beneficial to our staff to help them prepare or to be able to deal with what they're dealing with on a daily basis and to work with the clients, then we have an opportunity to attend that. So it's been great.
Nice. How big a program is this? It's huge.
Ginormous. Yeah, it's huge.
Just wouldn't fit in this room.
For the STAR program itself, there's 4 staff that are assigned to that program. One's the supervisor, and then he has 3 staff that go out and do the recruiting and picking up the individuals, taking them to movie nights. Actually, he does that himself as well.
Yeah. You're seeing some good flicks, aren't you?
We do a little bit of everything. Yeah.
One of the things, consensus picking the movies, or are you like the movie supervisor also?
It depends on what's playing. But one of the good things that we tell, like we did, because we do work also with the youth at age, and what we got to tell the mental health rehab technicians, I think is their title. I'm used to case managers, but that's their title. Basically, all of the fun stuff that you wish you could do with your clients, we get to do and get paid for it. So that's nice.
Mm. He just wanted to rub that in.
Yeah, I did. I hope they're all listening. Yeah,
I'm feeling it right now.
But that's okay, because we wanted all these fun activities to start happening. We wanted to focus on recovery. And truthfully, we just didn't have the resources to implement it as much as we wanted to. And now we've found the resources and we're doing it.
So it's really a shift from intervening on the problem to intervening on the solution in some ways.
Right.
Yeah, in some ways. Neat. Okay, so who's like, is anybody graduating, got a job yet? How long, so we've been going since a month, 30 days.
This is the 4th week, isn't
fourth
it?
Or yeah, so we've got our 4th week.
Several people with jobs. And
we actually don't do the placement portion of it. We, like I said, we do the pre-employment, so we do the preparation. I think there's another portion that comes into play after we're done with that part.
One of the other contracts that we got was the Department of Rehab, and we have another mental health rehab technician who's in charge of that program. It's not linked to IVROP at all.
So you guys have a point of readiness that you hand them off?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, what's that look like? We'll know when we see it.
I'll tell you in a month. Well, the way we have set it up is that this 2-month training that we're doing at the resource center with the 10 clients, those are the ones that we're preparing to be able to transition into that part of the program. So those are the ones that are stable. They've been on their medication. They're stable. They want to work. You know, they're looking for employment. They just need the skills to be able to prepare them to be able to work at a job site or be able to interact with other people, with customers, with other coworkers, and those skills that they need. So we're providing them with those skills. So we're hoping that at the end of this 8-week training, and we're halfway done through it, that they will be able to transition into that part of the program and then be able to start looking for employment.
Good. Sounds real good. Okay, we'll be back with Cindy, and we'll be back with Juan after a brief top-of-the-hour message. This is Let's Talk About It, Your Voice for Wellness in Imperial Valley. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the complete podcast version of Imperial County's Behavioral Health Service Let's Talk About It, brought to you by KXORadio.com.
Good morning, and welcome to Scooby-Doo, Warren's favorite show. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not it. Let's talk about it. Your Voice for Wellness here in the Imperial Valley. And that was a shout out. We, you know, shout out
to like Warren Sherwood.
Passe, not politically radio correct term anymore for what you do on the radio when you say hi to somebody. But yeah, Warren Sherlock, who's been coach and mentor and leader over at Behavioral Health for, you know, Mike gets his props and Paula gets her props and Warren gets his props. It's like the, and Oscar gets his props, most assuredly. So welcome back. This is your show for wellness here in the Imperial Valley. We are Cindy Coronado, who's the Adult Behavioral Services Manager for Behavioral Health, and they have a new Mental Health Services Act program called Project STAR, Students Transitioning,
Towards Achieving Results.
Juan's going to tell us. Juan, you work over at IVR, okay, as a supervisor?
Yes.
And Students
Towards Achieving Results.
Towards Achieving Results.
Yes. That's what we are. Our program, basically, like we mentioned earlier, we provide pre-employment, leadership, life skills, self-development training to all of our clients. And what we like to do is basically, when they come into our program, we'll do an individual assessment. And with these assessments, we determine where our clients are at and what services would be beneficial to them. And from there on, we basically enroll them in the different classes that are ongoing throughout the year. So at different times of the year, we'll have different classes going on. Some of the great things are also we get to do a lot of community-based classes and community-based projects. So what we're going to be doing is trying to do toy drives, food drives, and basically we'll supervise and oversee the event, but we allow the clients to take control, to form a board, and to decide how they want to do it, how they want to organize it. Where they want to disperse the food, the toys, or whatever it is that's collected.
So there's some thought, at least, and your organizers, I guess, that community service supports recovery.
Yeah, basically, being able to help them to give back to the community so that they feel important, that they feel that need to want to give back.
So being a helper instead of being a helpee, huh?
Yes.
Right, and I think that's the first step in shifting your thoughts about employment. I mean, when we haven't worked for years and years and we've believed for so long that we're incapable of working, it takes baby steps to get you back to the point where you feel like you can be a successful employee. And part of that is with the community service, when you're giving back and you're getting that sense of contributing and you're achieving more, getting more confidence in yourself because you're able to do graffiti cleanups or cleaning up at the parks or the food drives.
Things that people are grateful for that serve a community need.
Right.
And our life skills and our self-development component is huge. I mean, we start with everything from anger management, but also we have some more interactive fun classes. I know one you would like to be doing.
How do you do? Wait, I love anger management. It's like one of my favorite things to pick on in my whole life. So what do you guys do? And you get people mad and then say, okay, now what?
Yeah, now. How do you deal with it? What we do is basically just talk about different ways that we have them talk about different ways that they use to control themselves, and when they do become angry, what do they use to kind of calm down? Or different methods that their doctors have told them or that their mental rehab technicians have taught them to be able to calm down. And what we do is talk about those things and discuss what works for you, what doesn't work for you, why does it not.
There, part of that is also the mindfulness component, because they're also looking at starting yoga classes and relaxation.
Yoga, relaxation.
I think one of your workers, Norma, has already started with the relaxation where she takes in music and she starts off the groups with some kind of mindfulness training.
Nice. How important is it for, is grounding something that we can talk about
as
an important pre-employment skill?
I think it's important just for life in general if you want to deal with stress, because life itself, you're going to have stress no matter what happens, but you can... And the only control you have is how you deal with that, and that's why we really emphasize the mindfulness techniques and grounding. Do you want to explain what grounding is in case people aren't too sure what we're referring to?
337-8874, if you're not sure, give us a call. Cindy can explain to you. So we've got an anger management component. What other kind of elements do we have? And are people, are there competency levels on this? Is it something where, when you're assessing, do you look at anger management strategies as a point of assessment? I mean, how do we figure out who gets this?
Well, a lot of that is basically what we do is we offer the clients in the classes in general, and if they would like to attend that part, or also if we do get to talk to their case manager, their mental health rehab technician, and they recommend that they attend those classes, then we take that into consideration also, or even maybe talking to family members depending on the client and their situation.
I always appreciated the subtle irony of classes for employees and dealing with different difficult customers. And the subtle irony is, of course, that if you're skilled at doing that, then you probably don't go to class, right? So it's kind of the same thing with anger management. It's like, you mean I got an anger management problem?
Well, it's anger and stress management, and we all have stress. So in that way, everyone
stress
would benefit.
Stress is ubiquitous. It is a normal and expected part of being. Without stress, you wouldn't get out of bed in the morning.
Right. It's not necessarily bad. You want some stress in your life just to kind of kick you and get you started. But
get those teeth brushed.
Managing it is what we're focused on, just managing stress.
We also have other ways of approaching it. I mean, we're also doing like art and music therapy. We'll have somebody come in and teach art classes, talk about music and how music is soothing or how that provides, you know, or maybe even we've talked about having somebody come in and teaching them to play an instrument or to teach basic music skills. And it's just basically giving them other ways to cope with the things that they do on a daily basis.
How's that going now? I mean,
those classes we'll start implementing those soon. What we focused on this first month is starting our clinic classes, and most of our focus this month has been on recruitment, letting them know who we are, what we're there to do, and introducing ourselves to the clients, the staff, and everybody we possibly can.
This almost sounds like there's a humanities element to this, because you've got stress management, emotional management type of stuff. Now you've got arts and music, and it's almost like a person who's really been battling with mental health symptoms, and Cindy threw out the word severe, so I guess they're big mental health problems, has been sidetracked from this whole human development thing. And so you almost have to go back and start and say, you know, here's rock and roll music.
Yeah, we're trying to teach not just the clients, but staff too, that there's so much more to recovery than just taking meds and staying out of the hospital. It's about living life to the fullest, and that is why we were so excited, like I mentioned before, that this program was going to start soon and that they've started. And I think that the staff that they have with this program also was a really great match for what we're looking at and how they communicate with the clients and the recruiting and just the engagement. They've been really good with engaging.
Nice. Whether you've got arts and music, you've got anger management, what other stuff you guys got on the menu?
We're going to be doing some, along with the art base, we're going to be doing some photography classes, some cooking classes. And the cooking class we love is what we've done is we're talking to the instructors, because currently ROP does offer cooking classes at the high schools and stuff that students and adults or community members can enroll in. But what we're going to be doing is talking to the instructors and actually having them tailor the class specifically towards our clients. And what I mean by that is we were able to visit some of our clients at their home, and some of them live in a small apartment or a complex. They don't have a stove. They don't have a kitchen per se. They might have a small toaster oven or a hot plate or a skillet or something. So what we're going to do is tie it in with our health base. What are healthy foods that you can eat that are affordable within your budget, but also that you have the ability to cook? So I don't want to teach them how to cook all of this great food that they're never going to be able to do because they don't have a fridge, they don't have a stove, they don't have anywhere to cook it. So we're going to teach them, how do you cook it on a hot plate? How do you cook it on a toaster oven? How do you cook it on a skillet?
Nice. Maybe even develop little cookbooks based on, if this is what you have, this is what, you know, here's your chapter on hot plates.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe we'll have them develop their own cookbooks.
Now, one of the things with mental health and mental health recovery is certainly diet plays a big part in who you are, and even to the point where I guess some of the medication side effects can result in weight gain. How do we begin to, you mean I got to eat broccoli too? You know, come on. How do you make it fun and at the same time get it to stick in terms of life changing habits that really benefit the organism, that help keep you fit and ready to be human?
You know, one option would be to include the nurse and the doctor with this, the creation of the
they've been eating improperly too.
No, I mean, with tailoring the, what did you mention, a little cookbook for each individual, we could definitely incorporate the doctor and the nurse's feedback. They would know the side effects of certain medications and maybe what they should eat, what they should stay away from. And then they might even be able to bring that into their appointments. I mean, this is just for, to monitor to see how they're doing on that. Because like I mentioned, this is something that the whole team, the whole clinical team, everybody's part of. It's not just the STAR program. It's the individual, the nurse, the doctor, the rehab tech.
And it's also a community-based program because what we're doing is reaching out to other communities, community organizations, and having them be a part of us and come in and talk to our clients. When we were doing the transition age youth training, the Back to School 101, we talked about dental hygiene. So Southwest Dental came in and gave a presentation on dental hygiene and talked to them about the importance of it. And we're going to be doing the same thing with dietitians or other health-based. When we do the yoga, we're reaching out to other organizations to come in and teach these classes for us. So we're reaching out to the community and making them a part of our clients' recovery also.
Nice. And the community is so far more than happy to come and dedicate time and energy to this?
Oh, yeah. We've talked to different organizations, and we've gotten great responses. And that's one of the benefits, I think, of working with ROP, because we interact so much because of our other programs and grants with community and other community-based organizations that I can say we have a good reputation, so that when we do call, they pick up the phone and they're willing to participate and interact, and they know it'll be worth their while.
Thank you, community. You guys rule.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much.
337-8874 is the phone number. Let's talk about show Cindy and Juan are the guests. We're talking about pre-employment supportive services through the Mental Health Service Act program for adult mental health, including
transition age youth.
What's special about transition age youth? Why do they get their own special acronym? Bless their hearts.
You can probably answer that better than we can, because couldn't you?
From what I've been told.
If you look back at your life when you were about the age of 16 to 20, what is it, 25?
Yeah, I'm actually transition age youth squared now, so I'm old enough to
Yeah, some of us have to really look a lot further than, like, I would.
My transition age youth shells are dusty.
Anyway, when you look back at your life, it's a tough transition. The reason it's called transition age youth is because the youth are transitioning into adults, young adults. And it's a tough life when you look at the stage in life. You're trying to become independent, but you're still not really independent. You're stuck in two different worlds almost.
You need supports, but you might not have supports. I mean, some of us were really lucky to have parents that were like paying for our college or whatever and giving us a place to live.
Right, right. But many don't have that. And so that, when I mentioned the Mental Health Services Act, one of the underserved populations that was identified by the community and the state were the transition-age youth because of their needs, because of that transition that they're going through. And,
poor impulse
and some
control.
Of them maybe not having, some of them not having the, you just throw me off with your own impulse control problem.
Well, no, young adults. I mean, I'm like, okay, I'm going back on the shelves now. Young adults have less impulse control than middle-aged adults. I mean, that's probably fair.
Yeah, I would say. And it's a developmental, it's their stage and their development. It's not necessarily that they're bad or that there's something wrong with them. Right, it's a process.
You're learning that typically some poor impulse control stuff can be problematic.
So because of them having their own unique needs versus the adult population, we split them into the transition age youth population and the adult population. So Juan and his staff separate the two, and they do have their unique activities for each group.
You know, it occurs to me, young adult time is also a time when some mental health disorders emerge.
Yes.
And so this is also a time that if you catch things when they start, typically you can prevent harm and damage by intervening quickly.
Right.
Those kids are fun though, huh?
Actually, they are.
Yeah.
Those are great to work with. I mean, they keep us on our toes. They always have great things to say, great things to tell. And, I mean, I think with them, we had a movie night a couple of weeks ago where we had them all come in. We picked them up, and we ordered some pizza, had some popcorn.
And shot Bambi.
No, we watched actually a Gridiron Game with them. But the fact that they were willing to come out on a Friday night instead of being out with their friends and running around.
And watch not the coolest movie in the world.
And not doing things they're not supposed to be doing. But we're willing to come out and hang out with us. That's success for us because they're, you know, at the beginning of the training, they're like, oh, well, Friday nights I go out or I do this. And, you know, they were calling us up Friday morning saying, you know what, I want to go. And they want to come hang out with us and talk to us and interact with us. So that's great.
Nice. How important is it for you then to be some sort of model? I mean, you're not that far removed from being adulthood, sir.
Why didn't you say that about me?
Well, because he's working with the kids every day. I mean, that's I guess, because he's in the program.
And I think that's a huge part of it. I mean, not only with the transition age youth, but with any of our clients, the fact that if we want them to believe that our client or that our staff care and that they want to be a part of their recovery, then even in their off hours, if they interact with some of our clients, they can't, you know, walk away from them, oh, I don't really want to talk to them today because I'm having my own problems. Because to them, it's going to be huge. It's going to be, well, what did I do wrong? Or why are they willing to talk to me here and not here? Did I do something? Do I look differently? So I think for part of our staff, one of the biggest things is being able to set a great example. Like you said, be a good model for them so that they see that what we're doing is what we're telling them that we're doing, or that they should do what we tell them to do, but it's also because we can show them that it's the right thing.
You get to do some parallel play. I mean, when Gridiron Gang was on, you were watching it, obviously, but like when they're doing, I don't know, some relaxation stuff in the anger and stress management class, do you guys get to participate as participants and do your own little breathing? And
oh yeah, I mean that's what makes it a great part of it. Or when we took the youth bowling, the fact that, you know, we went bowling with them, to them it's huge. You know, I mean, not only, you don't just go and put a movie on, sit them down and say, here, watch this, I'll be back in 2 hours. You sit down with them, you watch the movie, you laugh along with them.
I thought you would just stand behind them at a really nice little vantage point with your arms folded and
yeah,
your left hand on the taser or something.
No, we don't get tasers. But no, we don't do that. We don't do that. We sit there and interact with them. We watch the movie with them. We talk to them about it. We join their discussions. We go bowling with them. And basically show them that, hey, you know what, we care about what you're doing and we're willing to be a part of it with you.
So the commonalities, are you guys discovering, I guess, that the commonalities in the populations of employers, helpers and the helpies are overlap and are pretty similar in lots of different ways? I mean, really there's not much different between them and you.
No, I mean, we all, just talking about the anger management and stress management, how we all benefit from that. We all have stress. And the bowling helps all of us. Yoga helps all of us. It's something that we're sharing. I don't think it's necessarily, I don't think the approach at all is us standing there, or I'm sorry, the project staff, the STAR project staff, standing there lecturing. It's about doing things together. And that in itself is very, very healing for someone who's suffering from mental illness.
Yeah, especially somebody that feels like they've been isolated or that they, you know, they don't belong as part of the group. The fact that you're willing to take them in and be a part of it with them, I think it makes a huge difference. And we've even invited Cindy to come along to our movie night. So
they felt really bad for me last Friday because I had no plans and I was going to be home alone. I think it was more of a charity case.
337-8874. Let's talk about it. This show. So one of the, well, it sounds like one of the kind of side effects of this pre-employment program is that you're able to spend time side by side with client populations. And let's not kid ourselves, there's some pretty serious risks out there for these people to lead really marginalized lives. They're not very far removed from psychiatric hospitalizations or homelessness or some of the other really deleterious bad side effects of mental health illness. So you've got these, but you're working side by side with them, and they're beginning to get a sense, I think, that, oh, look, this person has a job, but they've got some stress. Mm-hmm. And this person's, you know, employed and has their own house and has their own car and their own little family, and everything's kind of cool, but they need to learn how to cook fresh vegetables over some sort of hot pad thing. So I think the other thing that you're getting here is, you know, I'm not that far as a client, I'm not that far off of where you guys are.
Exactly. I mean, like Cindy said, we all face those same challenges every day. It's just how we manage to cope with them or not cope with them. And that's what we're trying to teach them, is how to cope with them effectively and efficiently to benefit them and not to harm them.
So your mantra is something like, this is doable.
Definitely.
Employment, this is doable. Going back to school, this is doable.
I think we take on the behavioral health or new approach to whatever it takes. And, you know, we like that, and I think it's great.
Nice. Is it nice to have that kind of resource level and support?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think it is. Like I said, you know, they've taken us in as part of behavioral health, and it's been great because, you know, sometimes working with other organizations can be a little bit difficult because there are differences. And the fact that we've been able to go in there.
Your acronyms don't matter, our acronyms.
Yeah, basically. And they've taken us in as part of their staff and allowed us to train and work with them and to talk to their doctors or sit in on their training, sit in with doctor meetings and discuss, you know, with them what they know is needed. Then that helps us to be able to run a more efficient program that will benefit the clients, and not what we think will benefit them, but what we know will, because this is what is needed.
Nice. As an outsider, what was it like kind of sitting with a psychiatrist and listening to them talk? What were your impressions?
Honestly, it was, well, interesting that, you know, first of all, just to be able to sit there and talk to them and know what's going on with the client, but also afterwards to be able to sit there and ask them questions. And to be able to say, okay, why is this, or what is this medication for, or why do they need this, or why would this client be good for the program and this one would not? That gives us a better of an idea of what we're looking for and what services to provide.
So they help give you a sense of how to structure and get your program together, and but they, I guess, know their business pretty well.
Yes. Yeah, that's their specialty. So
there you have it. Hard-hitting investigative journalism. You look underneath the hood of behavioral health at the professional people from an outsider's point of view.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It is great.
That's nice. So what do you guys have on the horizon? I mean, on the break, we talked a little bit about leadership conferences.
Yeah, the leadership camps. Is that how you refer to them? Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
We've done this with some of our other programs in the past, and there's a couple of camps up towards Julian in that area. The way I explain it to everybody is if you've ever seen the movie 28 Days and they have the ropes course with Sandra Bullock, not 28 Days Later. Yeah, that's the horror.
28 Days of Night.
Let's make sure to clarify. Yeah.
That's
the
horror flick.
About.
I don't want anybody mad that I sent them to watch the wrong movie. But the one with Sandra Bullock and the recovery, and they have the ropes course. It was actually
that's next Friday, right?
No, it'll be coming up soon, though. But what we're looking at is to be able to take some of our clients up there, and it's basically ran by the camp, and we go with staff and supervise, and they organize all of these leadership activities, and it's all about self-development, pushing ourselves to our limits, and be able to push ourselves a little bit further and be able to do what we're comfortable with, but at the same time learn some skills along the way. So it's a great experience to be able to go to that. We've done it before with other youth and some of our other programs at ROP, and, I mean, we've always had great responses from everybody.
Nice. And you would do that not just with the transitional age youth population, but with everyone, right?
With everyone.
Great. Cindy, what do you see at the end of this rainbow? I mean, is this something, what's your sense of treatment and recovery for the...
I don't really see an end of the rainbow, but...
what might this offer you guys, I guess?
But what I see is just people who come in to behavioral health to seek treatment leading more fulfilling lives. And like I said, that's going to vary depending on what to them is more fulfilling. And that's all that we want. We want to stop the philosophy of taking your medication and going home and staying out of trouble. We want them to take their medication to help them improve their lives and be happy and be successful and have families and just have a sense of purpose in life.
And be taxpayers and work all day.
And contribute and deal with stress okay. And accept stress as being a part of life and just dealing with it.
Have to decide between AT&T and Southwest. Something or other.
Yeah, there you go. And part of it also for us is part of the program is with some of our clients that, you know, I guess, I don't know how you would say be successful, but some of them that have, you know, continued throughout our program and they're in a position to where they could be peers to some of the other clients. Also, we're looking at implementing that also so that they can sit there and they can tell them, look, I was where you were. This is where I'm at now. Let me help you along the way. Because we know that that's what works. You know, the fact that our clients can leave our training, our movie nights, our activities and go back and tell everybody else and say, hey, you know what, you should really go. You missed out. We had a lot of fun. That's what makes the difference. Because, I mean, I can sit there and pitch it to them left and right. But the fact that it's somebody that they know and that they interact with that's telling them, hey, you know what, you should be a part of it, that makes a huge difference.
We were thinking of maybe having one or two participants come on the radio show within the next few months to maybe talk about their experience and what they've gained from this.
That would be an honor and a pleasure. You know, having people come in and talk about their stories and their lives and where they're going and the hope that they're experiencing tends to be even better than stuff like this, hard to imagine. but there it is. You guys are doing a you know what? You guys are doing a great job. I'm getting it now, and I really got a sense that this is going to open some doors and open some possibilities, and give people a chance to not only select what kind of life they want, but to reach those goals and develop those lives into happier, healthier, easier, safer, more fulfilling, mm-hmm. more self-determined lives. And it's going to be your fault, you guys' fault. So 5 years from now, we'll be like blaming you.
That's fine.
In a very positive kind of way. Thanks for coming aboard, Juan. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time this morning. And if people want more information about your organization or this program or how to get in or whether they qualify, who can they call?
If they want information regarding Project STAR, they can call our staff at 312-6622. And that's our staff number, and we're available there.
Wait. I found a pencil. Hey, wait, no, it hasn't got a pencil.
All of the...
Okay, this pen works. Okay, we're good. What's that number again?
312-6622.
312-6622.
And that's specifically for Project STAR. One of the things that we did want to mention is that if you are not a behavioral health client, but you are looking for other services, please look at our ROP. You can go to our website at www.ivrop.org. Again, www.ivrop.org to get a listing of our classes or other programs that are available. And if not, you can call our main office at 482-2600. So there are other services available if you are not a behavioral health client and you're listening in, and other classes you can join and be a part of.
Thanks for coming aboard today.
Thank you very much.
All right. And you guys, thanks for listening. Have a great week. We'll be back again next week with another show. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for wellness in Imperial County. Wishing you a good weekend. Take care.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUVO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.